Welcome everyone to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is Emily.
This is Shelby.
Our voices sound the same, apparently.
Should we give them a quick fun fact, random fact about us?
Just real quick. Okay, Shelby, go.
Okay, fun fact, I have double jointed elbows. They're crazy.
Shelbos. Mm-hmm. That's her nickname.
What's your fun fact? Emily's like, I'm not interesting. I'm just kidding. You are interesting.
I'm not. The only thing I could think of is that I'm allergic to tree fruits. Orchard fruits. So I almost died last time I got naked. I love saying that.
What? The last time you got naked.
Yeah, got naked juice from the store.
Oh, I get it. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Slipped in the shower?
Yeah, that was hospitalized last time I got naked juice.
Naked juice.
Hopefully, welcome this back. Is episode 3. Hopefully episode 2 will be posted.
We're soon. Unsure.
This episode might be up before episode 2. We're having technical difficulties with the audio, and I had two mental breakdowns this week over it, so we're good now.
So if anyone just has some extra time and wants to edit our episodes for us for free, I mean, you'll get to listen to our content first, so
yeah,
there are some perks.
We can offer emotional support. We cannot offer compensation.
We can offer maybe some cookies. Or brownies every now and then.
Every now and then. Yeah.
Every now and then.
Okay. Today we are talking about Queen of Shadows, the book.
Woo!
I'm so excited because this book was so flipping good. This is the 5th book in the Throne of Glass series.
I think technically it's like marked as the 4th.
Yeah.
Because honestly,
Assassin's Blade is 0.5 because it's the prequel.
Yeah. But honestly, those things confuse me. If you are reading the series, this is the 5th book that you have probably read.
It comes after Air of Fire.
Mm-hmm. Or Assassin's Blade. We read Assassin's Blade right before this book. So we read the first 3 books up to Air of Fire, and then the prequel, Assassin's Blade. And now we just finished Queen of Shadows, like, a couple days ago, and let me tell you, I understand the hype now of this series. I understand.
Yeah, it's kind of a slow burn up to this book, but mm-hmm. I enjoyed it nonetheless. This book was by far the best one of the series.
Yes, for sure. And everyone says that it is their favorite. There's so much depth in this book. You start to fall in love with a lot of the characters, which is amazing, because in Air of Fire, you're like, so much character building, so much world building, and you don't really fall in love with a lot of the characters, but this book, you do. And let's just talk about our main girl, our main character, Aelin. How do you...
Okay, first of all, how do you say her last name?
I'd have to look at the...
I say...
In my head, it's Galen.
I don't say it in my head because
it's just Gala. It's just Galen. I say... In my head, I think I say Galanthinus, but it's like Galanthinus or something like that.
Galanthinus.
Wait, can you open the book so I can look at it?
Yeah.
We have the book with us, so if you hear pages turning... It's our beloved book.
And if you hear Shelby sniffling, it's because she's always crying.
Yeah, I don't know why lately, but I have like a perma sniff.
That sounds so weird. Saying it out loud.
Perma sniff. Okay, where is her name? Where is our lovely Aelin? Right here. Aelin Ashriver Gala.
Galathinius.
I don't even know.
I do not know how to say that.
We actually want a voice memo of how you guys say all of their names. Like, Kale, I had to look that one up.
Everyone send us a video of you saying Aelin's last name.
Yep. Aelin, Ashriver.
Okay.
Galanthinus.
Anyways, what was I gonna say? She's just
the best.
She's probably the best main character of any book I've ever read, ever. Same. I'm obsessed with her. I just love her.
I love her. She's hilarious, first of all. Ruthless. Powerful. She's a freaking warrior queen. She was an assassin. I mean, you all know. You all know her. The assassin that we have learned to love. But anyway.
Well, that's kind of a spoiler. If you... We have to warn them before we... But if you're listening to this and you haven't read either up to this book or this book, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You should probably not
people,
be here.
People can know that... Well, yeah, I guess not, huh? Anyway, that is a spoiler.
It depends on where you're at in the series.
Sorry. If you're listening to this, you've probably already read the series, honestly. And mom and my sisters, don't listen to this episode yet until you have freaking read
Jennifer,
this book.
Get off here.
Yeah, Jennifer, get off. Demery, get off.
All right. We're going to jump right in. We have limited time.
Wait. There's a little bit more. This book, just like non-spoilers, even though we did give a spoiler, it's the slowest burn of your life, you guys. So freaking slow. It's very, very light on the romance, which I wish there was a little bit more, but whatever.
I personally love a slow burn, but this was slow.
It was really slow, and we didn't get much, honestly.
The book was not slow.
Also, Emily wants to tattoo "to whatever end" on her forehead.
Literally. After reading this book, I'm like, where can I put this? Whoa, I am obsessed with it. I want to tattoo it across my face. I want it for the rest of my life. To whatever end.
To whatever end.
It invokes a feral reaction from me.
Do you and Dallin have a saying kind of like that?
No.
Because I was thinking about it. And I don't know if you remember this,
we're not book characters. We're
but
like
at,
normal
okay,
people.
No, just listen. At me. Just shush for a second. Mine isn't as good as a freaking book character, though. At Abe and I's wedding, we had, like, all of our speeches. This was at our dinner. All of our speeches, whatever. And then I gave a speech, and Abe gave the final speech. First of all, my husband, he's great at public speaking. Not gonna lie, he's great. He finished it off with, I don't know exactly how he said it, but he said, "to everlasting love," and, like, raised his glass, and everybody, like, clinked their glasses.
Good job, Abe.
I know. I was laughing. Good job, and Abraham. I have a photo of him saying it with the biggest smile on his face.
Aww.
So that is Abe and I saying, "to everlasting love." What would you rate this book before we get into the
juice? 5 out of 5.
Same. 5 out of 5. Well, okay. I'm going to give it like a 4.8, 4.9 because I love romance. I really, really do.
Valid.
And if the author can add some heavy romance, not even just smut, I'm not talking about that. Like, just some heavy romance. Like, tell me exactly how you're feeling, then it deserves a 5 out of 5. But it is for sure a 5-star read. Should we get into it?
Yep, let's jump right in.
So, we already said this, but we read Assassin's Blade right before this book, Queen of Shadows. So, if you read Assassin's Blade right before this book, you are pissed off at Arabin. Like, so mad. And all you want is for Aelin to get her revenge on him. That is all you want.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else to say with that?
No, I thought you were going to say something.
Good. But also, in this book, she finally accepts that she is Queen of Terrasen, and she accepts that her name is Aelin Glabla, whatever. Galanthinus? I don't know. I say it different every time in my head. Anyway. So she finally accepts that, which love that for her.
Yes. The journey in Air of Fire. We can talk about that on another episode, but her personal journey on Air of Fire was much needed before this book. And it was great. So now she's like, okay, this is who I am. I am the queen.
And we're loving it. She's given us all of the queen
vibes.
We're
getting all of Aelin now, like full Queen energy.
Queen energy. She's our queen.
And we've seen how ruthless she is. So once we get into this book and she's playing along with Erebin's games, I was getting so frustrated. I was telling Shelby, like, why? Like, why is she playing along with his games? And I do love that Sarah J. Maas kept information from us, because it definitely put me on a journey.
Oh, yeah.
So this whole time, I'm just so frustrated. Like, why is she not just snapping at Erebin? I'm like, does she not know that he was responsible for what happened to Sam? Like, because we know her at this point. We know that she, you know, is going to get her revenge. And so the whole time, I'm like, why is it taking so long? Like, and then obviously when we get along to that part and we find out everything, that was so epic. We can get more into that, but... Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you're just like, what is happening? And at that point, when she was kind of just playing along with Erebin and his games and whatever, I was like, she, like, something is brewing. You know, like, she's not the type of person to just be like, oh, yeah, whatever, you know? No, that is not the Aelin we know. But anyway, getting into the book a little bit more. The Kale and Aelin reunion didn't go over so well. Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, they did not like each other very much when they got... Yeah.
They were for sure butting heads, and Kale told Aelin about Dorian and that he has a collar, he has a demon inside of him. Demon Dorian, low-key, kind of hot.
Ooh, you know when your man has a demon inside of
him? I love Dorian. Okay. He's a sweetheart.
Dorian fan club right here. Like,
yes.
If he were, we would have been fine if he stayed as the love interest for forever.
Oh, but, for, I mean, forever.
We love Rowan too.
I'm so, but honestly, at the end of this book, I was like, I feel like they are still meant to be together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But the Dorian chapters, they're like so short and so random. And I was like, what is happening?
Because this entire book, the demon was controlling him.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, he just had very little. He lost a lot of his memories, too. Like, he couldn't even remember what had been happening, so.
Yeah. Let's get into when Erebin tells Lysandra to give Aelin a message, like, in hopes that Lysandra... Is it in hopes that Lysandra will kill Aelin or that Aelin will kill Lysandra? I don't know.
He sent Lysandra there as a gift to Aelin to kill. Remember?
Yeah.
She knew that. He was like, yeah, you can kill her for sport, like for funsies.
Hate this man. I hate him.
Literally.
But we take a turn at that moment in the book.
And I love this and new this alliance.
Is so good. Okay, first of all, I spoiled this friendship for myself. Don't look at fan art.
Whatever you do, never, ever, ever look at fan art.
Never, ever, ever, ever look at fan art.
Until you finish the series.
I have spoiled so many things looking at fan art for myself. Oh my gosh. But I saw, like, a blonde character, which is obviously Aelin, and a brunette character. And I was like, oh. And it, like, said something like, this friendship. And I was like, who is that? Who is that? And then we come to find out it's Lysandra. But Lysandra, like, they don't hate each... Well, okay. Aelin does hate Lysandra at first, especially in...
Well, she grew up hating her. In the Assassin's Keep.
But they end up talking. And this part is so good.
Yes. And Lysandra brings... What's her name?
Elide? Or no. That's with Manon.
Yeah.
Oh, Evangeline.
Evangeline with her, which was a smart move on Lysandra's part because Aelin has a heart. And as they're leaving, Evangeline has these scars on her face, and Aelin is like, well, actually, Aelin doesn't even ask. Evangeline offers up the information that Lysandra gave them to her, and at this point, Aelin is raging. She's, like, restraining herself from just ripping out Lysandra's throat. But then Evangeline goes on to explain that is it Lysandra or Lysandra? How do you say it?
I say Lysandra.
Yeah, I like that. She explains that Lysandra gave them to her to save her, essentially, because if, you know, with those scars on her face, she wasn't going to be used and abused as much in the court. Are they called courtiers?
I think so.
So, anyways.
That is not how I say it in my head. I think I'm slightly dyslexic. And when I haven't heard a word, I literally can't, like, sound it out in my head. Courtiers? That's how I say it in my head. Courtiers? Is that how you say it?
I think it's courtiers.
You're like definitely French. Better with that stuff than I am. I'm I just read over it, and that's how it is forever. Well,
I took 3 years of French, and that's how you would pronounce it if it was a French word. Wait, and it kind of looks like a French word.
You took 3 years of what?
Yeah, in high school. Freshman, sophomore, junior year, I took French.
I don't remember.
I can't speak a lick of French.
Speak something for us. Bonjour.
Bonjour. comment ça va? Ça va bien? No, that's, wait, is that fit? So,
je t'aime.
I just spoke French and Spanish combined.
Whoa. Wait, that sounded cool. You're cool. I wish I was bilingual.
Jealous. I'm not. I can't speak French at all.
I can say... You just say, did. Excuse me.
Je voudrais un croissant, s'il vous plaît.
What does that mean? I want a croissant really bad.
I want a croissant, please.
That was close.
Okay. Sorry.
At this point, you like this friendship. Lysandra, however you say it. Lysandra. And Aelin. And she tells, Lysandra tells Aelin everything. This is when Aelin finally finds out about everything that Arabin did, that he betrayed her. He was the one that did everything.
With Sam.
And then we find out that he is the one that killed Wesley.
The whole thing was a trap, basically.
Yeah, and Wesley is Lysandra's lover. So they're about to get some good freaking revenge.
So they start working together, which we kind of find out more later. But where are we at now? And by the end of the book, Lysandra is one of my favorite characters in the whole series. Like, I love her. She's so good.
Oof, there's a lot to talk about.
I love her.
Who was that? Which one said it first? Which one of us? Okay, so Kale and Aelin, still button heads. Low-key, unpopular opinion, Kale still sucks. I don't know if you're a Kale lover, but I'm not, honestly. I was like, he could die.
We've He's never been fans of Kale.
No.
Like, literally never. Remember, do you remember in book one? Was it book one or book two? Book two.
It was, well, Kale. Where
they get together.
Yeah.
I was like, I think they might be endgame. And then immediately I was like, what the heck? No, this is Sarah J. Maas. Look, we've all read ACOTAR. We know she can write male love interests, and this ain't it.
Kale is just a sack of muscles. That's what he's good for. But then you meet Adian, and you're like, Adian actually beats Kale. On that topic, Adian and Aelin.
Okay, we need to talk about this, because WTF, like, as JoJo would say,
what the F?
Okay, the incest vibes, like, excuse me? Okay, look, Sarah J. Maas, this is not cool.
What the heck? He, like, loves her scent. What is up with that?
He's obsessed with Aelin in a very creepy, like...
Creepy vibes from the cousins.
Yeah, when they finally get back together, and just Adian's inner thoughts about Aelin, like, he's obsessed with her. And then the whole scene where they're showing each other their scars, they're, like, taking off their clothes, and I'm like, this is getting weird. And then there's one part where he, like, grabs her chin.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that is a really intimate, like, that's a like lover thing.
Sorry to all my cousins, you're probably not even listening, but please never do that. Never grab my chin and make me look into your eyes. Sorry, I wouldn't even
want anyone besides my husband.
Yes, I wouldn't even want my brother or like my mom.
Gross. Like, just no. Why was it so incestuous? Their like connection. And it was mostly on Adian's side, but For a minute there, I was kind of like, wait, what's happening?
Like, something's gonna happen.
I actually thought something was gonna happen between them.
Same.
And I was like, what? And then it just turns out they just really like each other. And I don't know. It was just weird. It was
They're just weird. He's like, he's ride or die for Aelin. Which, honestly, towards the end of the book, you kind of do start to like Adian for that reason. And she does set some more boundaries. Like, the very end. We'll get into that when Rowan whooshes the door. Set those boundaries, man. Set it.
Why was he watching them anyways?
Yeah, weird. Weird vibes.
Just, Adian gives off predatory vibes.
Like, he's just watching them kiss, and he's like, oh, tender.
Like, they're having an intimate moment in bed, and he's standing at the door watching. Like, could we not do that, Adian? That's a big no.
Let's not. Please stop it there.
I mean, not like in bed intimate. They're just, like, sitting on the bed kissing. But
yeah.
Still? No.
Yeah. Sorry. No, that's a no.
Can we talk about the intimate moments that were good, though?
Yeah, like what? You go.
Just, I mean, we finally get a little bit with Aelin and Rowan.
Just a smidge.
There's a lot to talk about here, but she is ruthless. Oh. She just teases him to know
the teasing. Every time they, okay. The fact that they sleep in the same bed. They've been sleeping in the same bed for so freaking long, and nothing has happened. Nothing.
Rowan's self-control is unmatched, honestly.
For sure.
Good job, Rowan. But every time the power that Aelin has.
Oh, she holds so much power over him. And I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I love it.
I am so ready for it to freaking explode. I'm waiting.
And the fact that we only got a kiss in this book, I was like,
yes.
What?
A kiss and a makeout, which, like, the makeout was like, we made out and I lost track of time.
It's Shelby's like, what? Are we in high school?
Yeah, what? That literally, high school, junior high relationship.
Give me a closed door scene.
Yeah.
But
the teasing. Oh my gosh, the teasing.
And I love, my favorite parts of this book, as far as romance goes, are when it's in Rowan's perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, it is taking every thread of myself to keep in control. And I'm like, I love that. I just want him to lose it so bad.
Same. I'm ready. I'm ready for them to go, like, out of control.
Stop being so in control, Rowan.
Oh, every time she, like, puts on a robe and she's like... Okay, if you have children in the car or something, stop it now. But every time she, like, puts on her PJs or, like, one of his t-shirts, which like, the male t-shirt, and Rowan is massive, so the t-shirt has to be massive. She's like, I'm not wearing underwear.
Oh my gosh.
Like, why do you have to say that? Like,
she's
why?
So mean.
She's no, so
and
mean.
When they were at the Assassin's Keep, and the fact that they talked to each other, in their mind.
Oh.
And she tells him in his mind that she's not wearing underwear. Okay. But one of the first, like, intimate moments between them is when she's washing his hair.
Oh. Yeah.
Which, like, if you've ever had anybody... At first I was like, that's kind of weird. But if you've ever had anybody wash your hair for you,
It is
heavenly.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's
so
intimate.
Just that, like, act of service towards him, I thought was so sweet and kind of funny, and just their bond is so strong, which we need to talk about that. We know that they have the blood oath bond that he is serving her. We also know that they are Karanam. Do you say it like that?
Yeah, I say Karanam.
So they're connected in that way. They can use each other's power. So they're very, very connected, right? But I think it's very obvious that they're mated. Like, they're totally mates.
And we haven't... This is as far as we have read up to, which I think honestly makes for interesting conversation, because we can talk about,
people,
like,
that have read the whole
stuff.
Series are probably going to laugh at this, because we don't know what happens the rest of the series. But as for now, our predictions are... There are definitely mates. Like, there is no doubt in my mind. If they don't end up being mates, I'm going to be shocked. But I think that their the ways that they're connected right now, the Karanam and the Blood Oath, is kind of hiding the mating bond, at least for Aelin. I think Rowan knows
that they're mates. Yeah, he's been mated before.
Mm-hmm. And if it's anything like ACOTAR, the male knows.
And he hides it.
He knows when they're mates, and the female generally can't tell unless she's told.
Yep.
So either Aelin knows or it knows and she's pretending like they're not for whatever reasons, or she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And what did I text you? Somebody else knows.
About them being mates?
Oh, Aelin. We need to talk about that.
Wait, can I just like insert something? Yeah. What? Sarah J. Maas, what is up with you? What is up with you?
What is up, my dude?
What is up? First of all, I love you. And if you're actually listening to this, I will die and go to heaven. But I just have a little problem. And I actually kind of like this problem. the old men, like the 200-year-old, 300-year-old, 500-year-old men.
What is your obsession with old
a 19-year-old, 18-year-old? Yeah. Woman, like, hello, why
we forgot to talk about Aelin and Rowan reunion when he finally comes to
wait, can we take one step back? Yes, just because this isn't anyway. There's like one moment when freaking Kale and Aelin are butting heads. He tells her that if she destroys a tower, magic will be restored, and that's like important for the end, and we will talk about that.
Yeah.
And then I feel like before we talk about Rowan and Aelin's meeting, we need to talk about Adian's rescue.
Oh!
Didn't that happen first? I'm pretty sure that happened before.
Yeah.
It did. But
that scene was so epic. I loved that. And I loved that she snuck in as a dancer, and that what's the instructor's name?
I don't remember.
Madame. Madam something.
The dance classes. We...
Okay. Sarah J. Maas, I'm sorry. She's not a dancer.
No.
She's not.
Coming from...
You can tell.
Okay, Emily and I, we've talked about that we dance, but we did ballet, like, specifically. We did classical ballet with, like, contemporary ballet, other stuff, too. But, so we know how, like, in terms of Sarah J. Maas, a classical dance class.
And she never says ballet, but it is very much implied. Because mm-hmm. she calls it classical dance and talks about slippers and tutus
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
And the way she describes, I don't think... it's more in... Is it in Air of Fire or Assassin's Blade, where she takes the dance class? Anyway, in one of the other books, she takes a class, and it's like 4 hours long. It's... so long. And then she's like, the last 20 minutes, the instructor lets us improv. And I'm like,
I swear,
like,
it was
whoa.
Like the last hour or something.
The last long time.
And I'm like, it's giving 5-year-old ballet class freeze dance. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? She lets you improv? Like, for, what are you doing? Just twirling around the room? I just can't imagine it. It just made me cringe a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I love improv. Don't get me wrong. I love an improv moment, but 20 minutes? Longer than 20 minutes? Sorry, no. No, that's enough.
Yeah. Anyways, that's another book, but I love the use of the ballerinas in Adian's rescue. It was epic. Also, I do have a question. She disguised herself as another man for Adian's rescue. Tell me how she was able to do that. How?
Who, Aelin?
Yes.
I did not catch that.
Really? Because mm-hmm. It talked about it during that scene. And then later on in the book, somebody brings it up. One of the guys. It's like Adian or Dorian. It's Adian or Dorian. They're like, I remember, like, she disguised herself as this man that I know. Like, an exact replica of him. And I'm like, it's giving... The, what is it called from Game of Thrones? The God of Many Faces? Where they, like, literally use dead people's faces.
Like, skin.
Yeah.
There are so many parallels to this and Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we're going to do an entire episode on it.
Yes.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
But how? It never explained how she was able to do that.
I don't know, because like, I honestly did not catch that part. That's interesting.
Like, weird. Her entire face changed. But she didn't kill him, I don't think.
But that happens later with Caltaine, kinda, too. Did you catch that?
With her and Elide?
Yeah, like when the whole Caltaine thing...
Well, they already look alike,
her. Yeah, and Elide. I think that's kind of what they were saying. But it honestly, to me, was like another moment like that. Like, she almost shapeshifted.
I'm like, does Aelin have minor shapeshifting abilities? Anyways, I have so many questions about that. Maybe we will get answers in the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yep. An ant.
I hate bugs. But Adian's rescue was really good. Mm-hmm. That was such a good epic part of the book.
And then just incestuous vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Then they're giving weird vibes. The Aelin and Rowan reunion when Rowan comes back. When she runs to him and then she's just crying in his arms. My heart.
That one struck me.
It's so good.
I think I teared up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, love them.
There are just some scenes that need music.
Oh, yeah.
We need to find a song for that. And then,
oh, yeah.
I wish that I had been listening to something while I was reading.
Oh, same.
Sniffle.
The perma sniff. There's another Aelin. I don't know why, but I always want to say Aelin.
Oh, we still have a long list. We gotta get through this.
I know, we gotta get through. We gotta go. There's a Aelin and Rowan moment where Aelin's teaching him how to play piano. You didn't like that part. You thought it was a little cringy, but I was like,
I thought it was cute.
It was tender, because it's like he's kind of stepping into her world and learning.
No, I actually liked when she was teaching him. It was when she was playing that I was kind of thinking it was really cheesy. It was like, and then like... We'd have to pull up the page, but I was like,
cheesy, because Emily plays piano. Another fun fact.
But
also, just random, why am I Aelin? She loves sweets and butter. Let's talk about Manon and our new character, Elide.
How do you say her name?
Elide?
I don't know. Elide?
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 Oh, yeah. I kind of like Elide.
I don't know. I say it different in my head every time.
Same.
So, we're probably not saying any of these names right. Just get over it, because we are not going to look it up.
Yeah. Except I had to look up how to say Kale.
Kale? But you know what? Sometimes I'd rather just pronounce it the way I want to pronounce it.
I know.
Because Rhysand?
Yeah.
No. It's Rhysand.
When we get into Akatar, I'm sorry, but we will be calling him Rhysand and Rhys, because that is what we did from the beginning in our heads.
Because Rhys? And... Who's Rhys? I'm sorry. That's not my man.
Nope. Rhys. No Rhys for us. But new character Elide, Abraxos likes her.
Okay, love Abraxos that. And Elide's relationship, so cute. Plus, I just love Abraxos. His, like, obsession with wildflowers. He's, like, a golden retriever of the wyverns.
Cute. He's, like, a little fairy of the wyverns. So I love cute. It. But also, like, Manon, her parts are still a little bit boring in this book.
I do have a hard time getting through those parts.
She's, like, scarier somehow. Like, she somehow had a mini glow-up in this book. And she's, like... scarier. I can like imagine her teeth more and just like her look and her vibe all around. I was scared and I'm like, do I like her or
no,
do I not
I
like her?
I love her. I love the vibe.
Well, now I love her.
Yeah.
Towards the end, yeah. I'm like, yes, Manon.
Yes. Her chapters, I could not read them in Air of Fire. They were so boring to me.
No.
I struggled. But this book is getting a lot better, especially with the introduction of her relationships with other people, including Elide, Astrin, mm-hmm. and Dorian. When mm-hmm. she's like having relationships with those people and having conversations, that's where it catches my interest.
Dorian and Manon? We're not there yet, but should we talk about it right now?
Please.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited. I'm ready for this relationship.
This is another thing I freaking spoiled for myself. Hello? I saw...
Hello?
Hello? Remember when we would always say that? Hello?
Hello? No, I don't remember that.
Are you for real? You would say hello. That all the time. Hello? Anyway, where are we talking? Oh, we're talking about Manon and Dorian. When they meet, this is a little bit further on than where we're at, but I want to talk about it. When they first meet, somehow, Dorian isn't a demon anymore. Like, the Valg and Sion.
The Valg does not like witches or does not like Manon because he, like, goes away when she's near. And Dorian comes out. Yes, and I was like, oh, I thought Manon was going to be the one to save Dorian when that part happened.
Same, actually.
Because she scares away the Valg inside him. And he was able to communicate with her. His one chance to, like, communicate as himself.
He's flirting with her.
Hardcore flirting.
He's like, okay, wait.
And I love that Dorian's always been a ladies' man, so he does know how to flirt, but it is cracking me
I'm up. Sorry, but I just have to go to that page.
And everybody knows the quote, and I have seen this quote all over social media before I read this part, but the I'll bleed whatever color you tell me to bleed.
Okay, wait, where is that chapter? Oh, I just have to go to the page because there's this whole conversation between them is just amazing, and I'm mad. I'm not that mad. I spoiled it for myself because it made me like it even more. Okay, first of all, he, like, compliments her that she's beautiful. And then what does she say? She's like, is there a reason you're smiling at me? And he goes, do I need a reason to smile at a beautiful woman? And in this moment.
And then she says, I'm not a woman.
I'm not a woman.
I'm not a woman.
Yeah, what?
I'm a man. Who are you? Just kidding.
In this book, we, like, really discover that Manon is beautiful. The first time Aelin sees Manon, she's like, wow, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
The first time Dorian sees Manon, he's like, beautiful. Beautiful woman.
Beautiful and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Love that for her.
But what else do they say? Let's see right here. She says, I'm not a woman, yada, yada. He says, I've never been with a witch. And she goes, I've been with plenty of men. You're all the same. Taste the same. And he goes, I dare you.
Oh, I dare you.
I dare you.
Like, really? But also, is he just provoking her?
I don't know. I think it's more flirtatious.
Is he actually having fun, or is he like, please kill me?
I don't know. Because we do get that. Like, anytime there's a demon. Is the demon in the Valg, like, the same thing? Like, when she's referring to a demon inside of them, it's a Valg, right?
Yeah. Can we just talk about everything Manon and Dorian, and then move on?
Yeah.
Because. Well, what else on this page?
Well, just to, like, go with that conversation, she says, because he says, I dare you. And she says, I think not, Prince, but would you bleed red or black? And he goes, I'll bleed whatever color you tell me to.
Hello.
Okay. Dorian fan club.
Yeah. I literally love, and I've seen that quote all over before I read it, but it was so good. And then the ending of the book when Dorian is in the castle, and he hears something, goes outside middle of the night, and Manon and Abraxos are just out there, and they just make eye contact for like a few seconds, and then she just flies away, and I'm like, the tension.
Who was that? Can you recognize?
I love. And okay, last thing that I had about Dorian and Manon was,
sorry,
I think I thought about them as a couple before, but I just thought, no, Dorian's way too innocent. But now, what he's been through, losing Sorsha definitely turned him into a different person. Like, he has hate now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the end of West Side Story. Mm-hmm. I hate now. Oh. You know how she says, I hate now? Mm-hmm. I thought of that part for Dorian in this book, because he, like, now has hatred in his heart, and that really changed him as a person. And I think the old Dorian would not be able to handle Manon, but who he is now, I'm like, I think that he has been hardened enough to be with Manon. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for that relationship.
Same. Our sweet Dorian has changed, but we love it. We love them. It's been through a lot. Yeah. Should we get into, what do we want to get into? Lysandra shapeshifting?
Yes. When magic comes back, that part was epic. Oof. And also tragic that we find out that she doesn't even know who she is anymore. She doesn't remember what she looked like. She'll never know what she was supposed to look like as an adult because she got stuck in this beautiful human form, which I was like,
not mad about that.
Aw, you poor thing. You got stuck in a beautiful body.
With big boobs.
Yeah, but it is kind of sad because she got stuck with that beautiful face and body, she was, you know, had the life that she had. Mm-hmm. Which ended up being really sad.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the part where she's like, the first thing I'm going to fix are my breasts. I was like, honestly, I feel that.
My back freaking hurts.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel that, but
she's like, self-inflicted boob reduction ASAP. Get these hungers off me.
I would feel the same if I had big boobs.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, the ending and her ghost leopard form, awesome. Also, the ending where Aelin makes her a lady. Love that.
Oh, yeah.
Also, just kind of trying to do all things Lysandra right now. But
Lysandra and Adian.
Ooh,
yeah. Do we think that's a ship for people that haven't read the rest of the series yet? Because I ship it.
Yeah, we think they'll be together. There was a few things that pointed to that. To like, them being together in the future.
When
Adian was creepily spying on Rowan and Aelin making out or whatever, or just holding each other, he was holding her in his arms, and Lysandra was there too, and she's like, I'm gonna find that one day, like, mm-hmm. I want that for myself.
And I was like, I don't think it's a coincidence that Adian was there. But also, when they're, like, traveling back to Terrasen, like, the few weeks that they're traveling back, Tender, Aelin's like, this is the best, like, few weeks of my life. I love that. There's, Lysandra is, like, shifting into a black dog with Fleetfoot. Fleetfoot comes back into this. When Aelin sees Fleetfoot again, Tender. But she's like, anyway, when they're traveling back to Terrasen, she shapeshifts into all these things. She flies with Rowan. She walks with Fleetfoot. She goes into her ghost leopard form. And now that makes sense looking at fan art. I always saw Lysandra with like a leopard print on her face, kind of. So that makes sense now. That's like her form.
I love that.
But she like will randomly pounce on Adian to tease him. And I'm like,
There's something there.
There's something there.
So, excited to see where that goes. Let's move on.
Let's move on to chapter 44. Do you want to talk about that?
This, when I read this, I was like, this is my favorite chapter in the entire series.
Yes.
To date.
The master plan.
Oh my gosh. The whole Arabin, she's pretending to go along with everything. There's just so much. We don't need to do a recap of what happened, but just the fact that we go through the entire thing. First of all, she gives Lysandra the honors of slicing Arabin's throat, and I love that for Lysandra. I love that Aelin let her do that, because honestly, I did not think Aelin was going to give up that opportunity.
I didn't
because of how much vengeance she and revenge she needed to get.
At first, I was kind of mad about it. I was like, I wanted Aelin to get that, but
Lysandra is the one that has been suffering for years. She has been having to sleep with Arabin for how long?
So long.
And just be a pawn.
And the fact that she, well, they talk about how it wasn't like a clean slice. She mutilated his throat, which I'm like, whoa, girl.
She did not hold back.
And then she lays in the blood after that to make it like look like she didn't do it. And I was like, oof, I couldn't do that.
Well, which, you know what, now that I'm thinking about it, is kind of an interesting parallel to Aelin's story of her waking up in her parents' blood. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
So she woke up thinking someone had left a window open back when she was little, and she actually woke up in a pool of her parents' blood. So she's very scarred from that moment. And the fact that we have a parallel of laying in a pool of blood, but this time it's for vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Another thing that happens in that chapter is I also, let me just, not to toot my own horn, but
I called it.
She changed the will. And I was like, yes, girl. This planning took months because they said, like, it was dated 3 months ago, and she changed the will so that Arabin gave Selena Sardothian everything. So she got the assassin's keep, and the three stupid little assassins that were living there were like, what? No. And then when she counts down, if you don't get out of here, she's like, you will die.
This is my house now, so get out.
And she starts counting down.
And they're like, five. Where are we supposed to go? And she just goes, 5, 4,
3. And they're like, what, what, what? And then, yeah.
So funny. So anyways, I just love the whole ambush on Arabin. It's going great, but then afterwards when we find out that everything had been planned out to blindside Arabin, and that they put the fake ring on the Valg prince's, I don't know if he's a Valg, just a Valg,
mm-hmm.
on his finger, Arabin thinks that he has control over Aelin when he puts it on her finger.
Oh, that
and then
part.
She's faking it. I loved that.
Okay, this is what I was confused about. Did she know that it was a fake when he put it on?
It was her plan the whole time.
Okay,
put a fake ring on the Valg's finger, mm-hmm. knowing that Arabin was going to cut it off and use it.
And then he slid it on her finger. I was like, and then he basically assaulted her. Yeah. Ooh.
And then that point, however much hatred you had in your heart for Arabin, you're like, he's done. I want him dead.
To keep going. When he was like, why did you really come back? Like, tell me why you actually came back. And I can't remember what she said, but then he was like, that can't be the only reason. Tell me you love me. And she was like, she played along with it, but it was all part of her plan. But she was like, I love you, you know? And it's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah, when she had the ring on her finger.
Yes.
But she had to.
I hated
that part. My question is, because in that meeting, Arabin knows everything, and I don't know how. Anyways, Arabin told Aelin in that meeting that he knew that they were in cahoots, Aelin and Lysandra. And at that point, I was like, oh, dang it, because I really thought that they had kept it under the radar from him and that they had been able to blindside him. Why did he let Lysandra back into his bed that night, knowing that she was betraying him?
That's what I was confused about, too.
I feel like that's a plot hole, question mark, but also Sarah J. Maas doesn't have a lot of plot holes.
But also, Arabin is just stupid.
I'm like, I think he just thought that he's had control over Lysandra for this many years and that there's no way she could ever... I think he just underestimated her, period.
And the fact that he, didn't see all of that coming, if he knew that they were working together, I'm like, why would you let your guard down so
and
much?
And just let yourself be, you know, killed in your sleep.
It's because she was in her beautiful form.
Watch, later in the series, because I'm like, is this a plot hole? And then watch later in the series, it's like, Arabin is not dead. It was his twin brother.
No. Oh, my gosh.
What if it was a twin that he let die? Can you imagine?
No. I would literally throw the book at the wall.
Arabin knows everything. I almost feel like he can read minds, because there are some things that he should have not been able to figure out about Aelin, and somehow he knows everything.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like he can speak. There were moments in Assassin's Blade where I was like, is he speaking mind to mind to this person?
So maybe he has some sort of powers. Maybe he is part Fae, mm-hmm. or Fae.
Something.
So we'll either never find out, or he's going to come back to life later.
No. Because
there's a lot of questions.
That cannot happen. Okay. I'll be so mad. Okay. You're like, okay.
What if, though? That'll be so funny if it happens later and we're like, what? Okay, moving on.
I just had this in our notes. The end of chapter 52, Rowan, when he told Aelin how much he, like, missed her.
Finally admitted that he missed her while they were apart.
I was like, oh, okay. That was heartwarming. I am starting to fall in love with you. Like, at that point, you're just like, okay, Rowan, just, you can have it all.
Yeah. I would do anything for that man, let me tell you. This imaginary old but man.
I also have my, like, hates about him.
What?
I just, like, felt like I wanted more from him in this book. And that's what I'm saying, the romance. I was like, I need more moments like that.
It makes sense, though, based on his history and his trauma.
Yeah,
like,
he lost his mate.
Mm-hmm. And he really doesn't want to get hurt again. So any feelings he has towards Aelin, he's trying to suppress. And also for the sake of the war, he was trying to...
But I also felt like he was giving me, like, wuss vibes. Especially when... they were, like, fighting everyone, and he was just, like, injured. And I'm like, ugh, just freaking pick yourself up and do something, you know? Like, everybody's doing your part, and I just feel like he didn't do much. I don't know.
Do we want to talk about Cultain right now?
Yeah.
Okay, love. The fact that she had the demon inside of her, and she slowly ate... at him. Like, it literally described it as taking tiny bites out of the demon until she was back to her normal self. And she just pretended like she had the demon inside of her, but really she was in control. And I was like, holy, the power she has. Like, that is crazy. And her death is probably the most epic death we've had thus far.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe in any book I've ever read. Like, the self-sacrificial... and the way she threw her arms up and, like, it said she opened her arms and, like, put her head up to the sky and just incinerated everything in sight. All of everything in Morath, totally incinerating any clues as to Manon saving Elide and anything that had happened. And there was going to be no more breeding because she just destroyed everything with the Shadowfire.
Well, epic. If you remember, she did that for Elide. Elide was imprisoned, and they took her out of her cell, stripped her down, and freaking, like, cleaned her raw. So uncomfortable, so traumatizing, and then Manon is like, where's the girl? Where's Elide?
I love Manon rescue scene.
Oh, like, this part was so
it's
good.
It's giving Taken. Like,
this is when I started to love Manon. Oh, what is it?
It's giving Zayden rescue scene. It's giving Taken rescue scene. It's all of the epic
rescue. You freaking epic love rescue. Manon for that. And she's like, where is she? And then she takes her, and then
I definitely fell in love with Manon in this scene.
Oh yeah. This is when I was like, okay, love that
love
girl.
Her.
This book has
She's not
so
a girl.
Much.
She's a witch.
This book has so much, like, female power in it. It's just great. Everything that happens with the female characters, you're like, I'm here for it. I love it. But love Manon in that moment. And she's saving Elide, and then Caltain's like, wait, they're waiting for her. And this is when I thought she honestly kind of shape-shifted, but I guess they just look a lot of like. So they switch outfits, and then in that moment that Emily explained, she... I loved this part, honestly. She took the robe off so they could freaking see everything that they did to Caltain.
Yeah,
to
her body was...
bruised.
Demolished.
And, yeah. And so she did that.
Which is so heartbreaking, and, you know, the fact that she used her power to just end it all. It was heartbreaking and epic all together.
Loved that part. I want to add a little a little thing in here, because anytime Manon is talking about her grandmother, it gives me like Asian family vibes. You know how Asians are like so hard on their children? Like, yeah. So hard on them. That is all I'm getting from her. I'm like, geez, cut her a break. Like,
but
she's
also
doing amazing things.
We've always known that she's been very strict, but we find out in this book that Manon's grandmother is actually evil. Like, Yeah, she was going along with the breeding stuff, which is just horrible.
So weird. And that's when I got confused, like, partly through this book, where I was like, is Manon, like, is she a part of this? Is she good? Is she bad? Then we find out that she doesn't want to be a part of it, and she actually is good. And we almost see, like, her wanting to be on Aelin's side and work with her. And yeah. I think that's going to happen.
And, and I was so excited. I actually thought she was going to show up a little bit more in the end to help Aelin in that whole battle war. But I think we'll see more of their alliance in the next books. But yeah, I got excited because I'm like, oh, they're like on the same side now. They're fighting the same enemy. I'm excited for them to get together.
Yes.
And join forces. That's going to be epic.
The Manon Aelin fighting scene was crazy. Oh my gosh. I loved that part.
I loved that.
That was...
And then Aelin saving her.
Yes.
Going back.
Yes. Oh. And so now Manon owes Aelin because Aelin saved her life. So we have that connection. And so there's definitely something that's going to happen there. Epic scene.
We didn't talk about Rowan pouring water on himself.
Oh my gosh.
We should have talked about that earlier when we were talking about his self-control. Was this after the gold nightgown?
I think so. The famous gold nightgown.
He almost loses it when she puts on the gold nightgown and he literally has to pour water on himself.
Cold water.
I was like, okay.
That is like kind of a theme. Doesn't that happen later on too? Like where someone pours it on Adian or something? I don't remember. But
I don't remember that.
I don't. I think it does. Look, can we talk about Astrin? Okay. Mm-hmm. Side character, Astrin. Horrible story.
I cried in that chapter.
I cried too.
Yeah, I definitely cried in that chapter. I can't even talk about it.
This is in chapter 63, if you want to go back and read it. But she talks about, I can't totally remember what happens. She just talks about how she got pregnant, and then, this is why I'm like, grandmother.
With a human.
Yeah, with a human. And Manon's grandmother is so harsh on them, and she's like, nobody's ever going to be perfect enough for her, whatever. And so, what exactly happened?
She loses the baby, and the grandmother basically says, like, you're worthless. Riddance. Like, if you can't deliver a baby, you're worthless. Like, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Like, what? Who says that? That is so horrible.
And then they,
They brand her.
And it says unclean, like, on her lower
Like,
abdomen.
The trauma. Yeah, on her stomach, it
so
says
unclean.
So that
every time she sleeps with another man, they don't want to be with her. Like, how horrible is that? That scene. Oh my gosh. So sad.
And then, can you just open up that chapter? Because the very last page of that chapter was like...
What on page 634 was it?
What was it like, Manon asked, to love? And Astrin said, it was like dying a little every day. It was like being alive, too. It was joy so complete, it was pain. It destroyed me and unmade me and forged me. I hated it because I knew I couldn't escape it and knew it would forever change me. Bye. Wow. Literally, bye. I was a puddle. I was unwell reading that.
We like... This is what I mean. You just start to fall in love with these characters, and there's so many of them that you're like, ooh, wow, wow, wow.
Wow, wow.
Wow, wow.
We couldn't talk. But let's talk about Lorcan. Lorcan?
Yeah. I say Lorcan because I said Lucian in ACOTAR, and now it's
Lorcan,
just
Lucian.
Lorcan.
I think it's Lorcan. Lorcan.
What side is he on?
Yeah, that got real confusing because he set a trap in the tunnels. He said that he killed the ward hounds and then he didn't, and so they got ambushed. But then he comes back to help them, and I'm like, okay, so what side are you on, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Pick a side.
That part
and there was
something
about him. He said something later about, I didn't know that Adian was going to be there. So I'm like, why does he care so much about Adian? he like basically went back. I don't know. That was confusing, but I don't have much else to say.
Yeah, I unrelevant character, but I do think there will be a ship with him later on.
A relationship ship?
A relationship ship.
A relationship.
My prediction is Elaiden Lorcan.
Isn't he, like, old?
They're all old.
Is he Fae?
I don't know, actually. I don't know.
No, he is. Hmm. Because they describe him as being, like, basically as powerful as Rowan. Like,
yeah,
one of the only ones that's as powerful as Rowan.
There's the one part where Aelin is walking through the town and she sees, like, everyone's freaking out because there's the thing written on the wall, Witch Killer, the human is still inside him. So Aelin is like, okay, like, Dorian is in there still. I need to save him. And so this is when we get into Dorian and his collar, and Aelin goes to, like, basically save him, right? Or, like, goes to kill the king or something. I don't remember exactly that part. Do you know what part I'm talking about?
Where her and Kale go in?
Yeah, I think so. And, or her and her sidekicks, whatever, they go in, and she wants to save Dorian at this point. The whole book, she's like, I don't want to save Dorian.
And she almost killed him at one point, but Nesrin used an arrow to knock away Aelin's sword.
Oh, yes.
And she just wants to kill Dorian because she doesn't believe that he's still in there. She just believes that the demon has taken over. But Manon discovered that Dorian's still in there because she talked to him directly. And so once Aelin saved Manon's life, Manon wanted to give back in some way. And she knew how much she cared about Dorian. So she decided to write her message and let her know he's still in there. There's still hope.
Yep.
And that was, like, the best gift she could have given back to mm-hmm. Aelin, mm-hmm. which I thought was so tender.
Mm-hmm. But do we want to talk about when Doran destroys the castle?
Yes.
Doran?
Dorian? We need to talk about this scene in general.
Okay.
Obviously, the Dorian... What am I... Shattering the glass castle.
Okay. First of all,
epic.
When
the amount of times I've said that word in this episode is actually embarrassing. I am embarrassed. But what else? What other word could I use?
I don't know. Epic. epic love. That reminds me of Vampire Diaries when Caroline is like, "You and Stefan, or Elena and Stefan, are epic." First of all, there's parallels with names between Sarah J. Maas and Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, Elena gets confusing.
We can talk about that later because there's so many names that are in Vampire Diaries that are also in Sarah J. Maas books. Mm. Anyway,
Damon, Dorian.
Yes, oh my gosh, Lucian, he's in Vampire Diaries.
Oh.
Also, Lorcan Salvatier, that's his name, Salvatore. Oh. I'm like, Sarah J. Maas, she for sure watched Vampire Diaries, and I like it.
For sure.
Also, Sarah J. Maas is a Swiftie, and I don't know how I feel about it.
No, we're not talking about this. Moving on!
What part were we at? Oh, Dorian, okay. Aelin goes in, and she wants to save Dorian. She wants to kill the king, whatever. Then eventually, Dorian, like, snaps out of it, pulls off his own collar, which, awesome. He, like, we needed that moment.
And he was able to do that because at that moment, magic came back, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And he was able to snap off his own collar. And then do they kill the king had a demon inside him that yeah. they killed?
Oh, question mark. This part. Oh yeah. My gosh. The king, like, is like, it was the demon inside of me the whole time.
He starts spinning the story, which we never really find out if it was the truth or if he was just trying to save, at last resort, save himself. But he's like, it was this demon inside me the whole time. Like, don't kill me. But then he's like, kill me. Anyways, and Dorian is not having it. He's like, I will not let this ruin my chance to kill him.
But in that moment, you're like, okay, was the king, like, is he telling the truth now? Like, what's actually real? Was he good? Was he bad? I don't know.
And that was going on in Aelin's head, too. She was like, oh, shoot. Like,
yeah.
Like, is he telling the truth or not? And I kind of love that Dorian was the one that's like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, he was relentless. He was like, I don't care what he's saying. He's, like, I'm done with him.
Well, I was on that side because I was like, I was have like, such a hard time believing that he was good the whole time.
And I'm like, I don't want to deal with him anymore. And I'm like, oh, how the turntables.
But reading the first book, like, The Glass Castle. Did I already say this? I don't know.
No.
The Glass Castle, I was like, I would be scared to walk in that castle if everything is made of glass.
And you knew that it was going to shatter.
You know. And the fact
that... No, like you.
Oh.
Specifically.
Oh, I knew.
You called it.
I called it. You guys, I'm a pretty good... It's given. It's a freaking glass castle. Yeah. Hello. But the fact that Dorian destroyed it and killed his father is crazy. And now he is the king, but he's, like, traumatized because he had the collar on, he had a demon inside of him, he just killed his own father. So Aelin gives this speech to Rifthold, the people of Rifthold, and whoa, amazing queen moment. But she's like, your king needs some time. So right now, I'm basically telling you what to do. I loved that part.
I killed the king. Dorian is your king now. And at first I was like, dang, she's taking credit, but she had to, because what kind of foundation is a kingdom built on where the king had just killed his father to take over the throne? That just is not a good look for Dorian, and it would have made the people distrust him. Mm-hmm. So it was a smart move on Aelin's part. Mm-hmm. I loved how cutthroat she was there. She's like, what did she say? She's like, I will incinerate you.
Oh, yes.
If you defy the king.
She is ruthless in this book. Straight up ruthless. And I love it. That it just makes her character so much better. Okay, moving back a little bit, let's talk about when Rowan feels Aelin being stabbed.
So right before all that goes down, when the demon is still inside Dorian, he stabs Aelin in the side with a dagger. And then it goes to Rowan's point of view, and he's like, he felt it.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, but it wasn't me. He said, I felt a pain, but it wasn't mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I had written down in my book, Aelin, because he felt that through their bond, which I think is a mating bond, but we're not talking about that yet. He felt the stab, and he was worried that she was dead, and she was worried that he was dead, which along those lines, I was kind of hoping for and expecting a more dramatic reunion between Rowan and Aelin as soon as they saw each other alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of got put off until after she was healed a little bit and kind of woke up after 3 days. And then they got their reunion. But he was standing right behind her when she gave that whole speech to the people. And I was like, how are they not just like hugging and crying right now? Mm-hmm. They just had to get through it. And
Aelin's... her posse, her court. Oh my gosh.
Love.
We are leading up to
Love.
A very, very strong court. We have Rowan. He's massive. Sarah J. Maas loves to talk about how big that man is. And we have Adian, a little bit weird, but at this point we like him. We have Kale.
We accept Adian. Kale's all right, but he has a lot of redeeming moments.
But now he's staying in Rifthold, right? And he doesn't go to Terrasen with them.
Okay.
And we have Lysandra, and we probably are going to get Elied soon. And
isn't Evangeline with them?
Oh, yes, we have Evangeline, too.
I wonder if she's going to end up becoming something more important.
Yeah. Any predictions?
I haven't thought about her yet.
I know.
There's so many other predictions and things that I kind of forgot about her, but I wonder if she has any powers.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
That will be interesting.
We already know she's a very smart, very sneaky girl. I think she could end up being a very stealthy, important character later, but...
She could become...
Anyways.
What's it called? An assassin?
Okay, we didn't talk about...
Wait. We have to talk about this part. Page 612 between Rowan and Aelin.
Oh, yep. I cried at this part, too.
Where he says, "You make me want to live, too, Aelin. Galanthinus not exist but live. And that whole concept is so powerful. Like, you know how people will say, I would die for you. I love the concept of saying, I would live for you. And that just shows that, like, I want to take care of you. I want to take care of me. I want to take care of the people that you love. And I want to live for you.
It's so true. Wanting to live for someone is way more powerful than wanting to die for someone.
Yep. It is. It really is.
And it's just, that part hit me so hard because that question for some reason has been on my mind a lot lately. Like, you would die for the people you love, but would you live for them? So then when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh. Sobbing. Okay, moving on.
What?
Okay, we gotta hurry up.
Let's talk about the very last thing. Is there anything else before we talk about that?
Let me look. The word keys.
Oh, yeah.
So, Aelin... Okay. Where are the three word keys? One of them is on Aelin's amulet of Orinth, which Lorcan thinks that he has, but it was the fake. The other word key is for sure with Elide.
That Caltaine gave. And where Elide is like, I have to find Celaena Sardothian so I can...
I'm so excited for Elide's story.
Ooh, me too.
And their meeting. And where's the third one?
I swear that they have two. I swear that Aelin has two, but I don't know.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I feel like it'll be revealed later.
It will be.
Okay.
But we gotta wrap this up. This is gonna be so long. But the last thing that we want to talk about, they make their journey to Terrasen.
I love this.
We haven't been to Terrasen yet, and there is a lot of hype about it.
Yes, we've been talking about it for so long, and we finally get to see it. And I just love this part so much when they like get to the top of the hill. I don't actually know if it's a hill, but that's how I imagine them, like,
that's how I did
rounding too. A hill and the Terrasen coming into view and the scent of pine and snow.
Which is Rowan.
I was like...
And then Aelin is like, Rowan smells like pine and snow, which smells like Terrasen, so Rowan is home. He smells like home.
I was like, oh, I love that so much.
Yeah, it's so good. But we loved this book. We did. If you saw our list of notes, you would be like, you guys are insane. But it's because we have a podcast and we have to put notes.
So we had to do this book because we just finished it like a day or two ago. And we have discovered the hard way that we have to make these episodes right after we read a book. we are going to cover the other Throne of Glass books for sure, as well as all the ACOTAR books eventually. We're going to kind of go out of order because we had to do Queen of Shadows. And because everybody said it's their favorite book of the series anyways.
It's the most
loved. I knew out of all of our Throne of Glass episodes, this would probably be the most popular. But
I understand. Now I understand.
We get the hype.
The fact that it takes four books, though, to get into it.
It took a minute. Like, I'm now fully...
I'm invested.
Uh-huh. But it was a slow burn, but I love a slow burn in all ways. Like, not just the romance, but I like that it has taken so long to build Aelin's character, and
yeah, it just makes her better. It honestly was a little too slow for me. I didn't like that. I mean, I did really, really love the other four books, especially Assassin's Blade. I thought that one was so fun, and we have a lot to talk about with that, but it just, I did want a little bit more, and now we're getting that. It's more fantasy than romance, which Emily loves.
I love fantasy. Shelby loves romance. I also love romance. I can't lie. But if I had to choose fantasy, I just love fantasy.
Yeah. I love romanticy.
I love heavy on the fantasy, which is why I love this series, but... We can just real quick put a plug in here about the reading order super fast. As we said before, we read Assassin's Blade after Heir of Fire, which is the intended reading order according to Sarah J. Maas's website. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people say, no, read it first. Read it before Throne of Glass.
And I would agree with that because in Assassin's Blade, you really fall in love with Selena and you get to know her a lot better than you do in Throne of Glass or Crown of Midnight, but it was a ride, and it was enjoyable to read it after Heir of Fire because you are just on a high right before Queen of Shadows and, like, so mad at Erebin. So, to read it.
I liked reading it before Queen of Shadows in the sense that it was fresh on our minds what happened with Erebin and Sam, mm-hmm. and that was very relevant for this book. But
that's the only reason.
But other than that, it actually confused me because I had forgotten where we'd left off in Heir of Fire.
Yeah.
So I was trying to rack my brain.
And Heir of Fire was a yawn.
At this point in our reading journey of Tog, we recommend reading Assassin's Blade first.
Yeah. Whoa. Voice crack.
Yeah.
I guess my throat's done talking.
But anyways. Hey, we did it.
We did it. Let us know... Let us know what you think of Queen of Shadows, and if you enjoyed this episode, please share it and tell all of your friends and family.
Also, if anybody wants to send us really good fan art that is spoiler-free so that Shelby stops Googling fan art and spoiling everything for herself.
Excuse me.
That would be so great.
You did too. Hello.
I did one time and I saw something that I can't tell you.
I did spoil
It's not
a
huge
myself.
Thing. Oh, and I saw something. Yes.
But, yeah, give us a rating and review, post about us, let us know what you think. That really helps us a lot because we are new to the whole podcasting world, and we honestly need some help. We're amateur, like we have said, but... Well, we love you guys. Thanks for listening today. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at ebbasinbagel.pod and give us a like
and subscribe.
No. Yes, but yes. Subscribe, please. We would love for you to listen in. And if you're not a book reader, you can just listen.
A book reader.
All right, let's finish it up.
Okay.
Bye.